wonderful day. I always love seeing sinners come to repentance, amen, and become saints, because we know that we're baptized into his death. And I just thank God for Sister Alice and for Sister Stephanie, and I just thank God for those who are coming, because there are going to be some more, amen. So we're just thankful to God today for what he is doing in the lives of people. You know, and as you come to church, faith comes by hearing. And so as you come to church and as you listen to the messages, then God instills faith in your heart and gives you the strength to go on. Because, you know, once you leave these doors, it is not easy. Sometimes coming in here is just not easy, as Sister Stephanie testified to. But God is able. I just want you to know today that God is able. Able to do above and beyond what you can imagine or think. We just need to have the faith to trust and believe that he is who he says that he is. Amen. So today, I had a hard time. Well, let me just say thank you to everyone who participated in ministries today. So men's praise team and our musicians, and Alice is our usher for today. We just thank her. I thank Sister Angelique and Brother Daryl for assisting me in baptism today. And anyone else who does ministry, if I forgot your name, forgive me. But we are just so thankful for the people that God has sent here to Antioch. And we may be few in number, but we are powerful in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I'm thankful today for what God is doing. So this message on the Holy Spirit has not come easy. That the Lord, you know, he still prevails and he's still in control. But you know, Satan has a plan as well. And he has a strategy, and he's always trying to cancel God's assignment. But it won't happen as long as God gives me the breath and the strength to do what he's called me to do. And so today, I couldn't print out my sermon. I couldn't do anything. My computer's locked up and all that. So I have to use my laptop, but that's okay. That is all right. So we're going to continue where we left off last week. We're talking about the God life. And this is part two, but I was unable to do my little experiment with potato chips. And so we want to start off with potato chips this morning, but I want to also give just a little synopsis of what we did last week for those who might not have been here last week. So I would like for us, first of all, to pray. And then we'll do a little bit out of order. Then we'll do a little synopsis, and then we'll go into the sermon, the message for the morning. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and let's just read the scripture for today. We would turn to the book of John. Today, last week in John chapter 14. This week will be in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. 16 verses 7 through 13. When you found it, please stand to your feet, and we can read it together. John 16, the Gospel of John. John 16, verses 7 through 13, another passage on the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking. Everybody there? But very truly, we're going to read together. Okay, so I want to hear y'all. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And we did read a little bit more, so that's okay. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message today. We thank you, God, that we can live a God-centered life in your power and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just bless your name today. We pray, God, that the message, God, would reach your people, Heavenly Father, and God, that we would really become more like you, conform to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for the words that you've given me. I thank you, Lord God, that the strategies of the enemy will not work. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still in control, that you are our sovereign God. And so, God, it is in you that we place our trust as we walk this walk and talk this talk and live this life that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for today. And I pray, God, that your word would not return to you void, that it would reach the hearts of your people way down to the marrow, Heavenly Father, and that we, God, would live in the community and speak your truth to everyone who hears. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, last time, in the God Life Part 1, you know, we talked about a few things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, we said that he is the third person of the Trinity, right? God, the Holy Spirit. Which he is personal, which makes him what? A person, he. Not it, not a force, not anything like that. He is a person. And so he indwells us when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That means that God is living on the inside. We said that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside, then we have a responsibility then for some things as we live our lives in the name of Jesus, as we walk this walk. It's not an easy walk, we said, right? It's not easy, but it is certainly doable and certainly powerful in his name. So we also said that the Holy Spirit's main role is to transform us. Because when we step from the realm of sin into the realm of righteousness, you know, we come with all our stuff, amen? I come with my stuff, you come with your stuff, and it doesn't go away that easily. And what I'm talking about, when I say stuff, I'm talking about our screwed up mind sometimes, the way we think, our sin, our behavior, and all of that. And it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote in here, unless I go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus had to go to the cross and die for us before he could even send the Holy Spirit. And when he sent him with what? Power and fire. Amen? So when originally at Pentecost, when the people who were there received the Holy Spirit, a miracle happened. First of all, they saw fire, something that looked like fire on each person's head. The other thing that happened was they were able to speak in different dialects. So people were there from all over who spoke differently, who really couldn't communicate with each other because they spoke different languages. But the people were able to speak different languages so that everyone understood one another. That was a miracle that happened at that time. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what the Holy Spirit did was that, first of all, when God indwells us, his presence is with us all the time. There's no place that you can't go without God being with you. Amen? It doesn't matter where you go. Okay? You can wind up at the club, and the Holy Spirit is still with you. Amen? Then the other thing is that we talked about the Holy Spirit being a flame. We talked about him being a holy fire, which means what? That he burns off sin. The closer we fly to the flame, the closer we get to God, the more deeper we go into his word, and the more we pray, and the more we develop our relationship, the more the Holy Spirit burns off sin. So you can choose to stay at a distance if you want to, because you're still going to be the same person or similar to the person that you were before you got saved. Or you can choose to get to know God a whole lot better and become a whole lot closer to him, learn who he is and his nature so that we can be more like Christ. And then the Holy Spirit, through miraculous means that we don't even understand, which we'll talk about a little bit, he begins to do what? Mysteriously transform so that the person that you are today, you are not the same person that you were even 6 months ago, even a month ago, even 5 years ago. You are a different person because God is able to do that in the power of his Holy Spirit. In the book of, I think it's Zechariah, it's talking about the rebuilding of the temple. And one of the verses in there says, not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, O God, that these things will be accomplished. And so in us, our growth is not developed in our own strength and in our own power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that God burns off the things that need to be burned off and develops us into the person that we need to be. And so when we pray, that's why it's so important that we pray in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can pray to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, and to God the Father, because they're all equal in power. They're all equal in presence. They're all equal in knowledge, amen? So the other thing that we talked about last week, we talked about passion. We talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit, when you're really filled with the Spirit, that you can't help be but passionate about the gospel that God has given you. You can't help but tell someone. They may not listen to you, but you can't help but say to somebody, you know, I love the Lord. Or can't help but just revealing God to them or giving somebody a testimony. And so I had my little example with potato chips, because you know everybody, your friend, when you got something they like to eat, potato chips, Kool-Aid friends, you know, people will come around you when you got something they want. Amen? Amen. So I need for y'all to engage with me here, work with me here. So when you got potato chips, being passionate about the gospel should be just like having some potato chips. But so many of us as believers, you know, we don't talk to anybody. We don't say anything to anybody, so many of us. And people struggling out there, people going through stuff, and a lot of us just don't engage the way we should engage. But we ought to engage just like we have a bag of potato chips. So, I'm going to open these chips. And look, just eat what you put your hand on. Don't be trying to contaminate the whole bag of chips. So I just come around. I'm going to start at the back. I ain't going to start at the front. I'm going to start at the back. So I want you to take a napkin. If you want some potato chips, take a napkin. Amen. And then, you know what? I'm going to just ask you, would you like some potato chips? So isn't it easy just to ask somebody, how are you today? Go ahead, just take some, because I can't pour them. Amen? Would you like some potato chips? So what are you going through? I heard that you were having a rough time in school. How can I encourage you? How can I help you through that? Anybody? Amen. You want some potato chips? How's your day going today? I'm so blessed today. Amen. How about you? You want a potato chip or two? Okay. I heard that you had some illness in your family. How can I pray for you today? Just pray for encouragement. Amen. Want some potato chips? You don't want none? You want some potato chips? You don't want none? You want potato chips? Hey, that's somebody. Got a taker. Amen. I heard that your family is struggling a little bit. So how can I encourage you? How can I pray for you? Or how can I help you? How can I help meet a need in your life? Okay? You have some people who have some note takers. That's okay though, because y'all are getting the message that it should be easy for a Christian to say, you know what? I heard that you heard you a little angry on the phone this morning. Is there anything that I can do to help? Or how can I pray for you? Anything I can do to meet a need? I'm just saying. Anybody else? Huh? Just one is fine. Just take one. Amen. I heard you were going through something. How can I help you? How can I be there for you? How can I be present for you? Amen. She said, pray. Okay. Anybody? Chip? Okay. It should be easy. You can't eat, hey, Lay's potato chips, that's why I bought them. You can't eat just one. You got to take two or three. Okay. Again, you get the picture. You want a napkin? Yeah, take a napkin, please. Now see, most everybody took some chips, something. Amen. So I heard, the other day when I was at work, and I did hear someone on the phone in her office, and she was really, really mad. She was really angry, and she was talking about something about her son in school, and the teacher had called her because her son didn't fill out some paperwork the way the teacher wanted it filled out, and she was really upset. And so after, just a few minutes later, I went over, I said, are you okay? Because she had blood pressure. I could feel her blood pressure going up. And so I went to say, okay, well, what can I do? She just told me about it. And she says, you know what? That little 25-year-old teacher was talking to me like I was 10 years old. I am not 10 years old. And so, and so she was able to calm down. Just in talking to her, just in sharing, sharing with her. And just sharing that experience with her. Because at that moment, she didn't have anybody else to talk to. So when we have something and we have the power of the gospel, amen, and the power of Jesus Christ, then we should want to what? Share. We should want to share it somehow, because I'm telling you, people need to know who Jesus is. Good thing we have a small congregation. You know, I couldn't do all this. You want some? Well, you better come on up here and get some. You even in school. You know what? There are kids who you ain't supposed to talk when you ain't supposed to talk, but there are times at lunchtime and stuff where you might be able to witness to somebody. You might be able to tell somebody about Jesus and about the church you go to. Amen? Oh, she gonna take the bag. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Come on, I'm just playing. Anybody? 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 Okay. But you get the point. You get the point. Is that you have something to share. Amen. Something to share. We have something to share. Here. Good, because you know what? Because I'm not going to eat them. So you got the bag. You had the nerve to ask. You get the bag. Amen. Funny. So anyway, we're going to talk about the God life part two. Scripture has been read in your hearing. And so today, again, about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about maybe the work. Oh, no. Oh. The work of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, in that passage that we read, he said, I'm going to send you what? The advocate. So if we can get to our first point, we're going to talk about the advocate. Okay? The advocate. And so what does it mean? We're going to talk about the work of the advocate. And so in the Greek, advocate is made up of two words, para, P-A-R-A, and kaleo, K-A-L-E-O. That's the Greek. And what the Greek means, it means the para part means called, and the kaleo part means alongside, called alongside, called alongside. And so the Holy Spirit is called to walk alongside of us. And So he comes to our aid. It's sort of an advocate, can be someone who pleads another person's cause before a judge. So he pleads our case before Jesus and before the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God right now, God the Father, interceding for us. And so the Holy Spirit pleads our case. He pleads for our mercy when we need mercy, amen? And God the Father hears and acts on what the Holy Spirit is able to communicate about us. And so he is a helper in a wide sense, a helper. He aids. He took the place of Christ, as I was saying, because Jesus had to go to the cross. And so he sent him in order that we could know Christ. Because remember, ancient Israel didn't know God. They were ceremonially prepared. So they would go and wash in the river or do what they had to do or sacrifice an animal, and they were ceremonially prepared to go into the temple. So it was part of a ceremony, but it doesn't mean that their hearts were changed because they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. They only did stuff on the outside so that they could enter the temple and participate in the temple worship. But they were not necessarily, their hearts weren't clean. That's why the Lord said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit inside of you so that you don't have to, you'll know me, that you're not going to be the same people that you were before. Amen? So we have the Holy Spirit. We have it easier in a way, better than they did. It's a better covenant than what they had. Because we have someone who lives with us all the time, someone who's always present, someone who's always leading us and guiding us into all truth. So the advocate is called alongside of us, but I don't want us to get the wrong idea. And the wrong idea would be that he is walking arm in arm with us, because he's not in that sense, like he's just gonna co-opt whatever I do. That's not the walk alongside, that's what I mean. The Holy Spirit is here to help us live a life in Christ. So Jesus said in John 3:8, he was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Can you catch the wind? No, you cannot. Can you control the wind? No, you cannot. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. Sometimes we hear the wind blowing, but we can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. He says, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit. What he meant was that the Holy Spirit moves silently and mysteriously and unexpectedly, prompting various individuals to turn to Christ, which is how we usually look at this verse. But there's even more, because after we're saved, the Holy Spirit continues to move just like the wind that blows. He continues to work silently. He works mysteriously. He works in unexpected and spontaneous ways. He works out God's perfect plan and his profound will in each one of us. But you know what? We can't box him in, although we try. You know, we try to capture the wind, don't we? We will try. If it's possible to do so, we can. Even like the big windmills and stuff, capture the wind in order to make electricity and make things go. We are going to try to control every single thing that we can control. And so just like we cannot control the wind, we certainly cannot control the Holy Spirit. He's mysteriously on the move, blowing here and blowing there and changing plans and stretching us and leading us and stimulating us to have wholesome desires and not foolishness or improper requests. He's out front and center when the way is dark. He's behind us protecting us when we need protection, when the enemy tries to do a sneak attack on you. The Holy Spirit is all around protecting you from those things. Just like God did for the children of Israel, God will lead us by the power of his Holy Spirit, even in darkness, and give us a strategic plan to follow, whether it's day or whether it's night. Amen? So that we won't get lost, so that we can stay on the right path. That's his job. We need him, though. You know, sometimes you say, well, I don't feel him there. I don't know if he's there, but I'll tell you. We need the Holy Spirit when we have to make some decisions. We need the Holy Spirit when we have to make a decision about what to spend. We need the Holy Spirit when we have to make a decision on should we take that job. We need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment about people, because everybody is not your friend. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us what's right from what's wrong. We need him. We can't survive without him and without his presence, without his knowledge. We need to be able to listen. When the Holy Spirit says, I need you to go to the doctor. I mean, it's just simple things that we just can't hear. Or when he says, I don't want you to go that direction because I-70 is messed up. And you know that happens all the time. All the time. But I'm just saying, there are times when God leads you down a certain path because you are in tune with his Holy Spirit. The thing is being able to discern whether it's really the Holy Spirit, or it's you. The deeper you grow in the knowledge of God, the more you can discern, or you can understand when God is speaking or when it's just your desire. That's important. So this is how the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. So that's why there are some people who just don't exhibit that they even have the Holy Spirit, because they don't know God that well. Amen. So that's why it's important that you be here to learn and to grow, and that God would teach you about who he is and guide you into the truth about every aspect of your life. But he can't guide us if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Ephesians in 5:18, there is a comment there that the Apostle Paul says, don't be like that. He says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you look up Ephesians 5:18. So what does it mean to be filled? That's our second part, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So to be filled means that we have the desires of God first and foremost in our minds. That's what it means. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you're filled because you're brought to tears by a song that Nedra sings. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you get to shout because of something that Brother Larry sang. It doesn't mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you know what? The devil can shout and then go right out the doors and be who he is. Amen? All right, so that's what I'm saying. That's a wrong idea. So when people are happy in church or raising their hands or saying hallelujah, or even saying thank you, Jesus, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They may not have one desire of God in their heart. That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? I'm not saying that happens with everybody. Certainly, you may say hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, out loud or even in your spirit. And really, you are filled with the Holy Spirit because you do have the desires of God in your heart. But certainly, so many aren't. So being filled means that you're mindful of who God is. It's a continuous process that we go through every single day. It's for a lifetime that we're filled. It's not just for a moment, for an hour of worship. It's a lifetime that we're filled. And so what that means is when in Ephesians 5:18, when he says be filled, it's in the present tense. And it's also a command. It's in the imperative, a command, which means to be filled in the Greek. And so it's a daily prayer for us to ask God to fill us for the day. And what it means is that God, be present with me in every situation that I'm in. You know, and sometimes it's not enough to pray in the morning, because y'all know the enemy shows up during the day. Sometimes. And sometimes just in the moment of a challenging situation, you have to ask God right then and there. Or you might have to step away from your desk. Or you might have to get off the telephone and say, God, help me through this challenging situation. Sometimes the Lord wants to tell you, you know what, you need to hush. You need to be quiet right now. You just need to let me take over. Or sometimes he says, you know what, you need to speak, but you need to speak gently. You need to speak softly. You need to season it with some grace and some kindness. That's the way I want you to do this. But you know what? You can't do it if you're not listening to what he says. Amen? So, being filled is all the time, but what I mean to convey to you is that it means that we are dependent on God every moment of every single day. Did anybody see the movie War Room? Raise your hands if you saw it. Okay, good. So many of you in the room have seen the movie War Room. And do you remember Clara Williams? Of course, she was the one who was teaching Liz Jordan about war, about the strategies, about praying. Amen? And so, but toward the end of the movie, when things kind of work out for the family, and she's sitting there and she's talking to Miss Williams toward the end of the movie, and she's saying to her, "Oh, I wish I could have met your husband." And Miss Williams says to her, "No, you don't. You don't wish you could have met him." And she says, she looks at her kind of odd, kind of strange, and says, "Why? Why don't you wish you could have, why wouldn't I want to meet him?" She said, "Because I wasn't the person who I am today." She says, I was bitter, basically. I was mean. He was in the army or whatever, I think it was the army. He was in the army and he was planning battle strategies. He died of a heart attack suddenly. And she said, "You know what? I always thought I was on the back burner. He never seemed to care about me enough. And I lived my life struggling with him, hating the military, hating what he did, all of that." He said, "God tried to show me the person that I was, and I refused to see it." You see, how God tries to show us the person that we are is through his Holy Spirit. But she refused to yield to the Holy Spirit until what? It was too late, because by that time her husband was dead. And so it was after that that she began to repent and pray, and that God restored her and gave her the work to teach someone else about the strategies of the devil. Because you see, what the Holy Spirit will do when he wants to fill us, he wants us to understand that the things that happen in our lives are not what they seem. The people who you're mad at are not the people you ought to be mad at. A lot of times, it's about who? It's about me. It's not about the other folks. It's about me. And so many times, we are not filled with the Holy Spirit because we refuse to see our own stuff. We refuse to let him reveal to us who we really are or are not. Amen? So some of us live like Miss Williams. We're unhappy with our life choices or the things we have to live with every day because of other people's choices. But we refuse to do the one thing we need to do, which is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's why we need to pray for our dependence every day. It's a present thing. So if you don't pray for it in the present, it what? It goes away. The filling goes away. So you know what? She never prayed for her husband because she was too busy being mad at him. I wonder in your life how many things you don't pray for because you're too busy being mad at something or someone or a situation or whatever it is. Or I'm by myself because we're mad about it. Or I can't do or don't do what I want to do. How many of us don't pray really for ourselves? And instead of being mad at our situation, some of us need to get rid of our bitterness. We need to go to our knees more about our spouses and our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family, etc. And we need to stay there. You know, everybody has a cell phone. And you know, if you have a cell phone, you remember a long time ago in the 1980s, mid-1980s, you know, the phones were very clunky. They were huge. Huge, clunky old phones. You carry it in your car, and you didn't want to use it because it cost you $1,000 a minute to use it. So you had to be rich in order to have even a car phone. It was big. It was about that big, and it weighed about 10 pounds, 8 to 10 pounds. The phone was very, very heavy. Now everybody has a cell phone, and one of the things that we can do with cell phones is that they have apps, don't they? They have different applications that might be attractive to you that you can download and use, and they provide assistance to us to do different things that we want done, okay? Whether that is a game, some of us have games, some of us have Google Play Store to get the apps, and just all the directional apps, and just all different kinds of stuff that we have, apps. Well, some of us treat the Holy Spirit like an app. Like we only download when we got issues. We only download him or try to tap into him when we need something, when there's something going on in our lives. But I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is not an app, that he's part of the whole system. He's part of everything. So you know what? If the system is broken, then we don't have access to the Holy Spirit like we should have. He is not an app that we can just download. When we say, okay, God, you know what? I got more month than money this time. I need you to help me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Okay, so the Holy Spirit then is the air that we breathe. He's the air that we breathe. He's the source of our strength and the strength of our life. So to be filled then means that we are in his will each and every day, because if we're not, we'll stop breathing and begin to die. So that means what will die? Love will die, joy will die, peace will die, faith will die, kindness will die, self-control will die, patience will die. You begin to die. You begin to die off. And you may have some love, but it ain't the love you're supposed to have. I'm just saying, y'all. So are we convinced then about the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives? Are we convinced about sin and righteousness? Because if we are, then God is calling us to fly closer to the flame of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we fly closer, we have to confess our sin. There's two types of flames. So there's the sacred flame of God, who's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the flame of the world, which is the flame of judgment. The flame of judgment is for those who do not believe. Because you know God's going to judge the world, amen? Because the world chooses not to believe. So those who do not believe will be cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which means separation from God forever. But the sacred flame is the one that burns off the impurities in us. And as we fly closer to it, God reveals deeper and deeper truths about him, just like it says in the verses we read. He reveals truth about us and truth about the world. And then we begin to understand that he's a great, great God, that there's nothing that he cannot do and doesn't want to do for his children. Scripture says this: what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You can find that in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter. These things, the Apostle Paul says, are revealed to us by his Spirit. We don't know how much God wants for us and how much he wants to deepen our dependence on him. I just think that sometimes we just go about living our lives and we just don't think about, God wants so much for me. If only I would just go deeper. If only I would just let him burn up some stuff so that I can hear him in my heart and I can hear the Holy Spirit speak and lead me into the will of God. What makes us think that God can't lead us? What makes us think that a God who's perfectly holy, who's perfectly righteous, who's perfectly powerful, can't lead us where we need to go? The strategies of the enemy. So you have to tell yourself that every single day. In the book that I brought last week, Flying Closer to the Flame, Pastor Swindoll compares the Holy Spirit to a deep sea diver. mining the depths for treasure and bringing to the surface the treasure that God wants to bring to us in our lives. I thought that that was a really, really good example. So how do we glorify God? We truly glorify Him when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring the truth of His wisdom, the truth of His knowledge, the truth of His power, and we live dependent, completely dependent on Him. Amen? When did we forget that we have the King of the world who's over us, who lives in us? Amen? The King of the world who's always in control. And we don't have to place, we can't place Him in a box. And we live like there's no Holy Spirit on the inside. Some of us want to make Him color between our lines that we draw. But aren't you glad today that God is not dependent on your rules of engagement? That He's God all by Himself. That He comes to make His name great. The nations and the enemies will scatter before Him. That He's still the King of the world, and one day He's coming back for His people. Will you be living a God-centered life filled with the Holy Spirit when He comes back? That's the question. Will you be living the God life? I want you to play this song. And I want you to sing it with me. This is the air that I breathe. This is the air that I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Come on, everybody. This is the air that I breathe. This is the air that I breathe. Your holy presence living in me, and I'm desperate for you. How about that? And I'm lost without you. This is the air. This is the air that I breathe. This is the air that I breathe. Oh, I got me on my range. Your holy presence living in me. This is the air that I breathe. Just play it. The air that we breathe is the Holy Spirit. We can't do without Him. He's our life. He is who we're centered in. And so I just want everyone to know that. That if He ceased to give us the air that we breathe, that we would cease to exist. That we deteriorate. And that the fruit of the Spirit, which is so important for us, don't get to grow. We need Him. Amen? We're going to continue some more discussions about the Holy Spirit living in us. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for Him some days. There are just some days where I just need that reassurance. Because, you know, we live in this world that always is trying to keep us from believing.